Hey church, welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I am Lokelani, your host, and I'm joined by my husband Alex, as always. Well, if you've ever had a physical, the doctor has checked your vision, and in this episode, we will be checking our spiritual vision. How well do you see spiritually? In other words, are your eyes fixed on God? Are you truly devoted to Him? To test your spiritual vision, you must look at your heart's devotion by asking yourself, "What takes up most of my thoughts?" To help us see God more clearly, Alex will be preaching on vision by continuing our series in Matthew. We're in chapter 6, verses 22 through 24, CSB version. Let's read. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Amen. God gave us a vision for this podcast, but it came after devoting ourselves to Him. And in that vision, we didn't see the full picture. All we saw was we're supposed to preach and post our preaching in podcast form. We didn't know that people all over the world would be listening. We didn't know people of all ages would be listening. People of all walks of life would be listening. And we got a letter from a girl who lives internationally, just breaking down why she loves this podcast. And I'll never forget that, because we didn't really set out for it to be a certain way. We just wanted it to be simple. And she's just, you know, breaking down parts that Lokelani and I both do that I sometimes forget that we do. And it was so encouraging to read that. And it was like our first international letter. And then we got a nice letter from a young man who is in the mainland and has a super, super cool job, like one of the coolest jobs I've ever heard. And he's just a young guy, and he just like, "I'm going through grief, and you guys have helped me so much." And none of this is possible without those kind of letters. None of this is possible without you listening. It's why we don't have ads. It's why we just do it, just Lokelani and I, and the kids make an appearance every now and then. It's why it's just simple. It's preaching. It's nothing more. We want it to always be that way. And as long as you guys keep supporting us the way that you have, whether it be sharing, following us on Instagram, following us on Spotify, you know, amenpodcast.com, donating, whatever it is, just know that this is possible by you guys. It's completely your ministry. I want you guys to know that without you, it's not possible. And so thank you, thank you for letting God use you in that way to bless us so we can keep doing this. Yeah. This vision is made possible by you. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about why we need vision, why we don't have vision, and how to get spiritual vision. You've heard the song, "I can see clearly now, the rain is gone." And I wonder if there is rain in your life that is clouding you from being able to see the path in front of you. Whoever sang that song knows the importance of clarity, knows the importance of the clouds being pushed away and the darkness, you know, being pushed with it, and then the sun coming out and shining. And what a difference it makes when the sun is full and bright and shining down upon you. God's sun of righteousness is shining. Do you see where He is shining? Do you see the rays that are coming down and falling on the certain path that God wants you to walk in? We're going to talk about how to have that kind of spiritual vision. So verse 22, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. He's talking to the disciples, and there's a crowd nearby. This is the Sermon on the Mount. They're up on a mountain. They're close. Their disciples are probably, you know, just really listening to what Jesus has to teach them. Everything they've been taught so far has been so countercultural, so different, but it's about to get more countercultural, especially counter church cultural. And what he's saying here is just like the eye is the light or the lamp to the body, meaning the body can see by the eye. Just like when you go to a room and you turn on a light, you can see because of that light. The eye gives light to the rest of the body, tells the body where to go, where to move. And spiritually speaking, it works the same way. You have a spiritual eye, and that spiritual eye guides your spiritual life. Now, Jesus is saying, if that spiritual eye is healthy, then your body will be full of light. And he's saying why we need spiritual vision is so that we do not live in spiritual darkness. Without spiritual vision, you will be in spiritual darkness. Here's an example of what spiritual darkness looks like and feels like, and I know you'll be able to relate to this. It's Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness throughout the land of Egypt for 3 days. One person could not see another, and for 3 days they did not move from where they were. Yet all the Israelites had light where they lived.
This is the ninth plague that God sent to Egypt and the Israelites for not letting the people of God go. And I love how it's described, a darkness that can be felt. This may be the most relatable plague. It's because all of us have been in a sort of spiritual darkness that can be felt in your bones. The depression, the loneliness, the sadness, the lack of direction. That's a spiritual darkness that can be felt. I love in verse 23, it says, one person could not see another. When you're in that kind of spiritual darkness, you cannot see past your selfishness. You can't see the person next to you. You can't see your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your coworkers. All you can see is you. That's how deep your darkness really is. And this was a physical darkness happening to the Egyptians, but that spiritual type of darkness we can all relate to. And Jesus is saying, without spiritual vision, you will be in that kind of spiritual darkness. Mm-hmm. So don't you see why we need to have spiritual vision? So God can lift that darkness that we find ourselves in and we can walk in his marvelous light. Mm-hmm. Now, why don't we have this kind of spiritual vision? It's because of deception. If we need spiritual vision because of darkness, the reason why we don't have spiritual vision is because of deception. Verse 23 of Matthew 6 says, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying, if the light within you is darkness, how can the light be darkness? Well, we can deceive ourselves into believing that the darkness in our life is actually light. It's saying, I'm not blind. I'm not clouded. I can see fine. Jesus is saying, that's deep darkness. That's very deep. If your eye is out, then your whole body is in darkness. If your eye can't see, there's deep darkness going on within us. We don't have spiritual vision because the vision that we do have, we've deceived ourselves into believing that we can see just fine. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:33 illustrates this in a good picture. This is a good picture of what it means to be deceiving yourself from the spiritual darkness that you might find yourself in.
Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals.
Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about resurrection from the dead. And in chapter 15, he's debating some people who are saying the resurrection is all a lie. And Paul says, nope, everything that we have, everything that we've been talking about in this book, everything that's been going on good in your life, that God is moving, how he's moving in your midst, all that is possible because of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. If the dead in Christ shall not rise, what are we doing? If Christ has not risen, what are we doing? So he's saying, don't listen to those people. They're trusting in their logic. They're trusting in what they think is their spiritual light, their spiritual eyes, but their spiritual eyes are blind. They're living in darkness. He says, do not hang around those people because bad company corrupts good morals, ruins the good things, the good morals that God has given you. But I love how he starts. He says, do not be deceived. He's saying, you can talk yourself into believing that what these people are teaching is just fine. And, you know, it's not so bad. Maybe we should keep them around. To deceive yourself is to play yourself, like DJ Khaled says. It's to talk yourselves into believing something that's not true. Paul is saying that the human mind is so powerful, you can convince yourself to stay in a relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, to stay at a job that you know you shouldn't work at, to stay doing things, having habits that you know need to be broken. We can talk ourselves into the most heinous sins and make ourselves believe that they're just fine. That's the power of the human mind. He's saying you don't have spiritual vision because the darkness within you, you've talked yourself into believing that it is light when it's not. That's deep darkness. So how do we get out of that? How do we start to see things God's way? How do we start to see things with God's eyes? Verse 24, this is how to get spiritual vision. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. How to get spiritual vision? Devotion. Why we need spiritual vision? Darkness. Why we don't have spiritual vision? Deception. How to get spiritual vision? Devotion. He says, a person can only have one master. You're going to hate one, love the other. There's really only two masters of a person. And that is either God or it is money. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve money? Jesus is telling him that spiritual vision only comes with wholehearted devotion to God. The only way you're going to be able to see things God's way, the only way you're going to be able to see God, the only way that you're going to be able to see things through God's eyes is if you have wholehearted devotion to God. That's where spiritual vision comes from. The reason why you're making the mistakes you're making, the reason why you feel that darkness and you're walking in a darkness that can be felt is because you're not devoted. Look at Mark 15, 33 through 34 to illustrate this even more on how to be devoted.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. And at 3, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me?"
Very good, Aramaic. Now, what he's saying here is, I am feeling a darkness that is blindsiding me. On the cross, Jesus was blindsided by darkness so that you could have spiritual vision. I want you to picture this. It's noon. The sun is the highest in the day, and darkness fell over the whole entire land until 3 PM. And at 3 PM, after spending those hours in that darkness, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The way Jesus is acting is so different to how he's acted the entire Gospels. He's calm, he's cool, he's collected, he's completely in control. He is the Christ. And then all of a sudden, the moments leading up to the cross, him on the cross, he becomes completely unraveled, unrecognizable. We're like, what is going on? He seems so blindsided by the darkness that he's experiencing. He's crying out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's not just experiencing crucifixion. There's something more going on. Don't you see? Don't you think that God would know exactly what hell is like? Of course he does. He knows everything. But Jesus experiencing hell on the cross, does it not seem like he's completely blindsided by how truly horrifying it is? Why If someone is so perfect, so holy, so righteous, so devoted to God, why did he experience such darkness? It's so that you could have his spiritual vision. Mm-hmm. Don't you see? Jesus always saw exactly what God saw. He always went exactly where God told him to go. Even if that meant leading him to the cross, leading him into complete and utter darkness that can be felt. A darkness so deep that he's screaming out in anguish. He went through that so you could have his spiritual vision. God must punish sin because he's holy. And so Jesus steps in and takes the righteous wrath of God on our behalf. And because he was holy, because he was the perfect sacrifice, God rose him from the dead. And because he lives, because the resurrection is real, it tells us that he is our source of hope. He is our source of power. He is our source of spiritual vision. No matter how many deaths you experience, no matter how dark a moment in your life gets, you will rise and you will be able to see God's way out of it because Jesus has risen. Because Jesus was blindsided by darkness so that you don't have to be blindsided by it, so that you could walk in the marvelous light. The more we look at that, the more devoted we will be. The more devoted you are, the more clearly you will see. We must, whatever situation that we find ourselves in, we must keep going back to see the darkness that Jesus felt on our behalf, no matter how dark a moment gets. And a great question to ask ourselves, to look at our devotion, is what takes up most of our thoughts? What takes up most of your thoughts? What takes up most of your time, talents, treasure? What takes up your thoughts? What are you thinking about the most? The answer to that question is what you are most devoted to. And so if we want that answer to be God, we got to keep looking at Christ. Keep looking at what he did for us. That's our source of power. Let me pray for us, and then we'll answer that question together. Father God, thank you so much for your son. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for his spiritual vision. Thank you for sending him to live the life we could not live. Thank you, Jesus, for being so in love, so obedient to the Father, but so in love with us and so in love with the Father's good and perfect will. So in love with the Father's character, because he knew that we weren't. And so, Lord, we thank you for the resurrection and what it means. And we pray that our thoughts could be focused on you and we could be devoted to you. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. What takes up most of your thoughts? That is one of the best after the amen questions we've had. It's so good. And for me, I'll go first, it's worry. I think worry takes up most of my thoughts on a bad day or at different times of each day. And, you know, that could be worry about different things, what I'm going to wear, if I'm a good enough mom, if I'm a good enough wife, if I'm a good enough friend, finances, cars, our house, like, you know, the house church, like just so many different things that my mind can drift to, but the root of all of them is worry. And I think, well, I'm excited that within the next couple episodes, we will tackle this topic. It's like one of my favorite sections of Matthew, but before we get ahead of ourselves, it's worry that takes up most of my thoughts. And I think it's something that I don't think we talk about enough as Christians. And it really draws a wedge in our relationship with God because we're called not to worry. We're told, commanded not to worry, sorry. And we're not supposed to do it. And when I think about this question too, I think of 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says to take every thought captive to obey Christ. And it's so interesting that when we, like for myself, when I'm allowing worry to fester, I am enslaved by my thoughts. I'm enslaved to that worry. But in Christ, I can take that thought captive. I'm no longer enslaved by my thoughts, but I can take my thoughts captive, and which means like basically I can enslave my thoughts if I have Christ, because he gives us the freedom to not have to worry. And it's just so interesting, because I think of like from there, I think of Galatians 5:1, where he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And when we have darkness in our lives, when we have poor spiritual vision, we are enslaving ourselves again. We're being burdened by the yoke of slavery. And in Christ, he has set us free. We don't have to do that. And so I just think for me, it's constantly reminding myself of that and being sensitive to the Spirit. When I notice myself worrying, I need to take that thought captive and obey Christ, not just say, "Oh, I'm worrying, I shouldn't be worrying," and then go on, but say, "Okay, this is sin. This is bad. This is not good. This is clouding my spiritual vision. I need you, Lord, to take that thought captive," because he's the only one who can do it, you know, not us. "And help me to set my sights on you again. Help me to see clearly. Help me to be devoted to you. Help me to trust you wholeheartedly, because your word is true. You've proven that in my life through the transformations that you've made. And I'm called to trust you." So we would love to hear what takes up most of your thoughts. And I hope that whatever it is, that collectively our thoughts would shift to how amazing and how awesome God is and how free we are in Christ.
Amen. Man, that was good about the thoughts and just enslaving them instead of letting them make you their slave, you know, enslave them. That is so good. Yeah, I think, yeah, the redemption of our mental life and the redemption of our vision, you know, spending so many years in darkness and then God redeeming that. It's beautiful to see how God spoke to you in that way. Super heavy. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much. And we can't wait to see your answer to this question. What takes up most of your thoughts? Mm-hmm. Be honest, like Lokalani. She said worry. I would have to piggyback on that for sure and say that. The future takes up most of my thoughts, I think, at times. But I think my thoughts of God have greatly outweighed what my old thought life used to be, yes, which is really cool. And so, we can't wait to see what you're going to say. We love you so much. Thank you. It's good to be back in the studio. Kinda. We like being on the road, but it was raining today. And so we're back in the studio, thankful for Lokalani's dad who painted this room for us so that we can come up here and do episodes in bad weather. So awesome. But that bad weather always gives us beautiful flowers and stuff like that. So wherever you find yourself in, just know that God is growing your spiritual vision, and we will see you in the next one. Love you.
Amen. Go out and be the church.
Amen.